Grand Rising, everybody. Hope you're doing well. It has been a moment since we've been on here. There has been a lot going on, just a ton of things. And well, we hope we didn't lose listeners because of it. But you know, it's fine. I always think when I do these podcasts, like, yeah, whoever's supposed to get this message is going to get it regardless, right? And that's part for me is who gets it is meant to. What's meant for you will show up. But also, you know, we've just kind of been gone for a while, so I hope that we're not just talking to the air and nobody hears this. That would just be not so well. So I send this abundant message to the universe and cosmos that those who are supposed to catch this message find it, get stuck to the web and find us so that they can hear what needs to be heard. We have some pretty exciting news though. I did actually move from my location, and that's a lot of the reason why we've been off.
Yeah.
I mean, I moved across the entire United States from one side of the world to the other.
Right. It's a pretty big change.
So one side of the world to the other. So I didn't move to India, which would be the other side of the world. But I did move to the other side of the United States, which is right. From Albuquerque. For those who don't know who Albuquerque, Breaking Bad, everybody knows about that, or Bugs Bunny. Bugs Bunny put us on the map, let's be real. Anyway, all the way to Georgia. So Georgia Peach. So here in Georgia. And the exciting thing is that I'm here for my PhD program. Got accepted into the Consciousness Society program. Really excited about that. But guess what? Does it ever come easy? No, never for me anyway. Not when it comes to education. I'm starting to realize that that's my battle. That is the battle that I chose. Perhaps my soul chose was to battle the education or to battle those who are trying to suppress individuals from remembering who they truly are and really being a carrier of wisdom and also knowledge.
Spiritual so, warrior.
Spiritual warrior of education, of people knowing who they are and having access to the information, which we see, you know, what's going on right now in our systems in the United States with education, right, is that they are, well, what I think is going on is that they're afraid they're not going to have a workforce because this generation is totally like not buying into the quote unquote American dream, which I call the American nightmare because it's become a nightmare. And right, it's like you think about taxes and inflation and all the things that are going on in the world right now, where these young generations like, hell no, I don't buy into this. It doesn't even add up or make sense. And I think what they're doing is really trying to restructure education so that they can, for lack of better words, dumb down the next generation of individuals so that they can have workers.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they're taking out a lot of these very, very core education classes, which are, you know, critical for not just life, but for thinking critically. And critical thinking is a big, scary word to some of these people that are in positions of power. Trust me, I don't take a political stance, so I'm not going to get into the politics of it of like, oh, well, right or left or who cares. I don't care about right, left, all that. What I care about is that people of the world, the humans of this planet have access to the information they need to transcend, to heal, to overcome that inherent trauma that has been circulating for eons. So I think with that, you know, I'm in a state right now where my education system is a mess. And I can tell you right now that the current president that we have at our university is, for lack of better words, a tyrant. Hey, Poetic, how are you? It's good to see you on here. And he literally is trying to rip the culture from the university, from this community. And to insert himself as the all-knowing. I mean, this man honestly thinks he's the president of the United States, which is kind of creepy to me and very interesting. He makes us refer to his wife as the first lady. If you go to his website, if you go to the website, University of West Georgia, where if you go on there and just look, he has a whole, there's a whole write-up on his wife as the first lady, which is kind of just creepy. Like, it just creeps me out. Okay. Because it's an inflated ego, the inflated ego that's showing up. And the sad thing about it is that all of the faculty and all of the staff seem to be walking on eggshells and afraid. This is a president that got a vote of no confidence. Well, I didn't even know what that meant until I got here, where faculty rise up against a president saying that they have no confidence in him and it should be taken up by the Board of Regents to get rid of him. Well, they didn't. And the Board of Regents kept him. Well, what's happening strategically? Okay, I'm just going to go over a little bit of strategy. Again, I'm not going to get into politics because I'm not a politician. By all means, I think all of them are weirdos, but whatever. Is that our Board of Regents is mostly conservative. I'm just going to say it. They're conservative. And so they have an agenda and I'm looking at it. Yeah, he knows or is related to someone. Oh, for sure. So we're trying to dig, right? Of course, we're all trying to dig, trying to figure it out. But he literally, if you looked at the Board of Regents, are all, you know, buddies. Yeah. So they're all buddies. They're all chum together. And I think they're technically placing him here. Well, this happened in Florida. It's happening. I think they're trying to make Georgia the next thing, Texas, right? All of these things is the education system, which they're trying to get rid of. I think freedom of speech is what I think it is, right? Us not being able to. So trying to block off our throat chakra, basically, is what I think is going on. And they're doing it very slowly and strategically. However, my thing is like they're kind of using the old formula of colonization where they rip culture. Mm-hmm. So they're ripping culture from the universities, right? First of all, like this president is like really freaked out by the flame. So I'll just give you a little bit of history. I'm like, man, I hope nobody from our university hears all this stuff, but maybe I'll go public with it later. But I'm just gonna give you guys a history, man. And I wish somebody would come and help us organize here so that we can kind of get this guy to go where people want him. Not saying that, you know, maybe he's a good guy. I don't know, but we don't want him here and his values don't match what the community wants. Maybe you are the spark. Yeah, maybe, which is like, that's great. Let's just put these people carry guns out here. They're crazy. So let's just put a whole, I come from New Mexico. It's a whole
put a different target.
I'm putting a target on me. It's a whole different system out there, right? So, and now I'm in this whole different world where politics does play a role in kind of your day-to-day thing. So with this guy, you know, it's just, we're just asking him to leave, but a community member, from what I'm told, I've only been here less than a month and I already know all the dirt. Okay. So I was told by a community member that there was a flame that a faculty had donated a beautiful flame, to the university. And, the flame represented the torch of wisdom or knowledge, right? To ignite knowledge and all that. And will, and of course we know what the flame stands for, right? Symbolically, right? It's the wands, right? We can think of wands in tarot. But the will, right? And the power and the drive. So anywho, the president is getting rid of this flame and the community was not very happy. There was a petition to keep it. And then he straight up lied to their face. And this is what's scary. He told them, don't worry, we're not gonna take it down. And then 2 weeks went by and then it was taken down. So these are the people that will tell you to your face one thing and do something completely different and not care. And so totally has humiliated the community. I think they're just feeling overrun And it's hard for them to even have a voice to say anything. I think they're afraid. They walk on eggshells. It's really kind of weird. And I'm kind of like, where did I get warped to? I'm like in the Twilight Zone, right? I'm like, whoa, this is kind of strange. And so, you know, the weird world that we live in, but I believe they're trying to focus on sports more than they're trying to focus on education, putting money into the athletic team to make it a tier one or whatever they call it. You know, I don't know anything about sports. I'm not here for sports. I'm here to learn. You know, that's what colleges were for, to learn, not for sport. You know, if you want an arena, go build an arena somewhere else.
A lot of money in sports.
Oh, there's so much money. And it's really, I don't even want to get into why that's so wrong. But whatever, you know, what they do to these people that are in the sports, right? It's like they put them on the field to be their puppets and entertainment. And then they're totally demolished when they get older because they're, you know, being smacked around and, you know, they have injuries and whatever. But I'm not even going to go into that piece. But still, this guy is really, what he's doing is using old colonization techniques and strategies to rip the community of its culture, which is kind of disturbing. Because when we talk about stages of consciousness, right, and we talk about expansion, we're not going backwards, but that is a real fight to hold on to old values that are no longer serving humanity. They're not serving the United States or the people. The people don't want that, but they're trying to trap them in an old narrative. And it's kind of like what we were talking about earlier about being over the twin flame narrative. Yes. You know, it's like, imagine somebody's trying to pull you back into it.
Yeah. Over it.
You're over it. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I don't understand why these guys aren't over it.
It's their power. You know, exactly. They don't, if they let go of their power and their control, what do they have, you know, at the end of the day? How are you going to feel needed or wanted or successful if nobody likes you and they all want you out of there?
Exactly. It's like, go somewhere else, bro. Look, bro, go somewhere else. and really trying to, you know, trying to understand how to switch the narrative or to take on a new narrative. And I think that these individuals are afraid of that new narrative. And that's what we see all over the place. Yeah. And we can say that I think what we're saying is those individuals that are looking to the old narrative are what we would call maybe conservative. They're trying to conserve the old thing. They're trying to conserve. I don't know if that's the right word, but conservation, I'm thinking conservative, like keep old, you know, I don't know the etymology of conservative. I'm going to have to look that up now because I'm like, now I'm interested. What is the etymology of conservative? Because it could be, you know, to conserve, to keep old narratives down, which I would say that's what they're doing is they're just, like you said, afraid. And then they try to do this show to make it seem like it's okay. But, you know, the guy himself, the individual, is really kind of magnified, egocentric. I want to go into diagnosing him into all these different things. But I think his ego is larger than his own spirit, to be honest. I'll just say it that way, which is probably more of a diplomatic way to say it. His ego has inflated beyond the spirit, or is trying to inflate beyond the spirit. And don't think that this individual is able to move up the state or expand consciousness because he's holding on to. Did you pull it up? I saw you kind of.
Yeah, I did. It's Middle French from Latin, preserve.
Yep.
Preserve. Yeah.
Conservative, to preserve, to keep the old narrative. Like, how are we not making these connections, right? Which, we're not going backwards. Like, this is something that I just, and I don't know, you can speak to it, Pam, but it just trips me out how people are so, they're gripping to the old. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you're not going back. Like, we don't, right. If you want to go back in time, create a time machine and take your ass back.
Right.
But you, we're not going back. We're going forward. Time moves forward. Okay. From our perspective, from the way that we experience time, it moves forward. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying it can't move backward, but not very many people, if any, can go backward. So it's time to move forward. It's right. time to right. accept that things are changing. And some people can't. And they're using old tactics and techniques of colonization. It's just a repeat in these smaller, tiny communities. And it's sad because the individuals in the community feel, and I would say the academic community, let's put it that way, because the larger community, I would say there are very concerned citizens. I haven't talked to all of them, so I don't want to speak on behalf of the entire community, but I will say this, the people that I have spoke with are very afraid to speak up. That tells you something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fear likes to control.
Do you see what I'm saying? And it's like he's playing to their psyche or something. I'm like, no. Like, I'm not afraid. What is this person right. going to do? Like, you can't take shit from me.
Right.
I have lived off canned food. You know what I mean? And that's the thing that scares them the most. You know, I'm a street smart, educated person. I came for the streets. I'm for the streets. I came from the streets. You know what I mean? Like, you can't. Like, what are you going to take? Okay, Kendrick Lamar. I have to read his, there's a song that's All the Stars. And Kendrick Lamar writes this thing. It's like, tell me what you're going to do to me. I don't know. We'll have to pull it up and read his, what he has to say. It's pretty cool. Cause that's my thing. I'm like, yeah, the guy gets it. And I think Kendrick Lamar, I don't know his history or his background, but I'm pretty sure he came from the streets too. Like, he's like, I didn't come from nothing. I don't care. There's nothing you can take from me. Mm. Can't take the truth.
Right.
And that's what's important. I think that we stand on is that we have this wisdom, this truth, this historical context, the culture, all of those things that are so critical and important that radiate within certain communities. And what they do is they try to rip that away. And that's exactly what they're doing, because the person who donated the flame was a longtime faculty member and a loved community member, which to me is really kind of disgusting that you just come in here.
Yeah, it's really disrespectful.
And disrespectful.
Yeah, even to lie about it and everything, that's just shady. Like, where's the integrity in your actions and in your words? I think that, that's just that energy. Like, how would you want that as a leadership? I mean, I wouldn't want to. Like,
seriously?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I don't blame you for being, I don't know if it's triggered or whatnot, but just aware and, you know, being vocal. You know, you moved, you did a huge journey, you know, to be accepted into like this educational system. And I think that's what we've lost is our voice. Like, we don't stand up and speak out for ourselves as a collective. These forces, like you were saying earlier, right, that are just kind of controlling and weighing us down collectively. Like, we need to rise up and have a backbone, and it is fear tactics. And when you get to a place of like, well, I have nothing that you could take, or you know what I mean? Because I don't care about material possessions, you know, like, it comes down to my wisdom, my heart, my soul. And I think that's why they used to burn us at the stake and drown us in rivers. And you know what I mean? All the things. They can't do that now. So they're like, how else can I make them suffer or kill like a piece of their psyche? You know? And it's like, well, let's take away education. Let's oppress and, you know, have control over what we consider to even be a worthy subject, you know? And I think even just the whole labeling of careers and labeling that in itself, you know, it's identification. We're so caught up on you know, show me your credentials and prove yourself worthy in this role. And we don't even account life experience and other things that really make us whole. My perspective is I definitely feel like, you know, you were brought there, soul purpose, right? Destiny, free will. Because now here's the situation and it's like, are you, you know, going to tap in to this potential and this empowerment or, you know, just kind of stand by and let things happen? You know, that's where free will comes in. And I think it, everything's shifting, like paradigms are shifting, you know. So we were all kind of planted within those systems, right? We're all seeds of light that are trying to come forth and dissipate those holds. And so by doing that, it becomes a spark and inspiration to others. And it helps make those revolutionary changes that consciousness is truly leading, is how I see it at least.
Yeah, no, that was beautifully said. And I think it's really important for others to hear that, you know, I think with this, because, you know, most people, like, I'm so new to the community. There's like, I don't have any followers on this podcast. Like I said, who knows who's even going to listen to this, but even a tie-in to this university is like, those individuals need to be able to hear this message of like reigniting hope, mm-hmm. right? In their hearts, that there is hope for a better future, and to stand up and to say something, because mm-hmm. you know, otherwise they just silently mm-hmm. while everybody's silent, they take what yeah. they think is theirs, and it's not even theirs for the taking, you know. And it's stifling, right, the progression of, it's trying to even maybe press back or push back into or force back people into the old paradigm. You know, it's like, because if you know, like even with the paradigm shifts, right, if you look at it, it's like once it's full, the container's full. And I kind of like that. I know we watched a video when we were in our master's program, but it's like showing how the container's so full that a new container needs to be made. That's the paradigms. It's almost like they're trying to stuff people back into that, and they're using these tactics, like you said, and it's mental, right? It's mm-hmm. all mental. Yeah. It's all in the psyche.
Well, makes sense. Patriarchal, masculine, yeah. mental space.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. And the transcendence of that, right, is like, okay, we know better. We already know how history kind of repeats itself. And they're trying to use old tactics. I love this. I love what Dr. Chalquist says too, is like, they don't have imagination. Right. And that's their greatest downfall, because they're playing it out exactly like they would if they were colonizing. They're coming and colonizing here. So it's like the same scenario. They're taking down any representation of the culture that came before it. They're trying to take away the history. They're trying to, you know, those are old tactics. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we should be conscious and aware of that. So how do we mitigate that? How do we rise above it? How do we say, okay, no, we get what you're doing. Ha ha. We see it. Like, not dumb. We see what you're doing.
Right.
Hello. Come on. Let's not pretend. Right. We can already see it. So what is the balance to mitigate that and to push out the individuals that are not accepting of this new paradigm shift that is arising in places? It's like, again, it's fine. You want to be one of these individuals who's not, doesn't have the same values as us. Don't come try to change the values back to what it was. We've already transcended that. Mm-hmm. This community has already moved beyond that narrative. So rather than try to force people back in, why don't you move somewhere where you're accepted? Just go away. Quit trying to reduplicate what has already been done that didn't work. It's not working and it's on its way out. You know what I mean? And it's all just fear. I mean, it's just blatantly clear. Yeah. These people are afraid. They're afraid. It's just clear to me. You know, it's clear as day. I mean, they're using old tactics. And you know, it's like the community coming back and saying, no, I'm not going to use these old tactics, right? It's like, I don't understand.
Yeah. We've grown past the narrative and it'll fall apart, right? It will eventually fall apart. And I think that's where the more resistance you give to something, the more the universe is going to push back, and it will eventually lead to like a volcanic situation or a tower moment where, you know, everything gets truly messy that didn't need to be.
Yep. It becomes this chaotic pool of craziness. Yeah. So that is what's been going on with me. And that is a lot of the reason why we haven't been here, because I just uprooted myself into implanting myself in a whole new place, which I'm excited though, because, you know, this PhD program is going to be really good for one, for two, really important that we receive the funding and that the humanities doesn't get pushed out of this university like it's been happening in other conservative states. And again, not from a political standpoint, I'm not talking politics, I'm not saying I'm liberal and all this stuff, I'm not even going to get into that because I think all of them are crazy. But by conservative, I mean holding on to the old narratives when we have transcended those narratives and we are ready to move forward into a new state or a new paradigm shift. And I think the education system is trying to move backwards instead of forward and accepting the new. And the new is the acceptance and love for the humanities in a way that it's never been loved before. To allow that to thrive. You know, I was telling some of my peers, it's really crazy because when you think about these great thinkers of the past, right, the ones that we give credit to anyway, they did a lot of things they went underground. It's not like they were doing it, out in the open. They had to ground because we were getting to a place, or they would maybe call it the Enlightenment era, to a place where they were reaching these transcendent states where they were remembering who they are and they were teaching people to remember who they are. We got to that state, but it was all done in confidence. I mean, and that's why we had these secret societies.
Yeah. You know, the ancient mystery schools. That's what's coming to mind. Yeah.
And what they were afraid of is it was going to end up in the wrong hands. Well, hello. I mean, it's obvious that it didn't end up in the hands of those who were willing to harmonize with nature. And the ones that kept it from everybody were the ones who obviously were trying to keep things from people. And so, you know, talking about these things, and I'm not saying that we don't have so many people are coming out, right? We have YouTube videos and we have books and we have this and that that are trying to teach people. So I mean, there's opportunity for us to tap into those things, but you've got to remember that the narrative in those books is not driving the agendas of the global narrative. It's not. So it's pockets of people who are waking up, but when you look at the larger narrative, they're not following what those individuals are saying. You know, they're not taking the word of this biologist that I was talking to Pam about earlier, who was talking about us being inherently good. He even said he's been a scientist his whole life. And he said, my colleagues would say I was crazy for bringing in consciousness in the spirit. So the agenda is not driven by mysticism. It's not driven by imagination. It's not driven by the soul. It's driven by mentalism, materialism, mechanistic, scientific point of view. And they're still driving it that way. So it doesn't matter how much we talk about mysticism and all that. Our systems themselves are not being driven by that or the marriage of the two. I would say, you know, the both and.
I was going to say, there's where you're missing the feminine matriarchy. Is in all of those qualities of intuition and mysticism and the unknown. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just this fear. But if you look at those systems, they're not being driven by any of that. In fact, they're being pushed out. And so it is an interesting time. And I do know that I'm a warrior spirit, so I'm not going to back down. But I also want to say that, you know, I am not mad at these individuals for behaving the way that they behave. Mm. I realize that there is a deep fear inside of them that they're not willing to face within themselves. And they wouldn't be behaving this way if there wasn't.
Right.
They would be trying to harmonize with the system. They wouldn't be glorifying sports over wisdom and education. There's a deep fear that's inherently underlying there. And of course they would say, oh no, of course not. Okay. The first thing I would tell them is then, all right, then why don't you put your wages down and give the money back to the graduate students? You know what they're going to say? No, they won't do it because their whole mind is materialism. Mm-hmm. Their whole mind is capitalism. Their whole way of being is make money, make money. It's not about the common good of the people. If it were, wages across the board would be, changed and stuff.
Oh, we wouldn't be losing our middle class.
And losing our middle class. Yeah. Yeah. You know, and it's not to say that people should be compensated for what they are, who they do. That's not the point. The point is you have more than you need. Mm. And that's the problem, right? Yeah. That's the problem. You have more than you need. And really, are you doing that much good? How much good are you getting compensated for? What good are you providing to the world? Sports does nothing for us, but harm people actually, because if you look at all the people that are playing sports and the injuries over their lifetime, you're not adding to the quality of life for those individuals. They're going to be hurt. They're going to, you know what I'm saying? So later on, they're going to have injury from the sports. That's what the sports arena was created for. The Coliseum was created to be physical and hurt. I mean, at the end of the day, these individuals end up with tennis elbow and knee issues, and, you know, they're footing the bill when they get older on their body. You know what I'm saying? So that's not well-being. I don't think putting money towards a sports team is saying, hey, I care about the people's well-being. No, they care about a spectacle so that they can keep people from really focusing on what's important. And that is being able to connect into your soul and live your divine purpose. So it's like, well, let's just keep them away from their purpose. And so, yeah, so it's really frustrating. But, you know, like with these individuals, you know, I really pray and hope that they one day, you know, who knows, maybe when, who knows how long it'll take them. Maybe one day they'll have an epiphany, you know, the divine spark will slap them in the face and they'll wake up. Like, right. I'm here. You know what I mean? Like, wake up. And then they will have a change of heart. That is my hope for them. But, you know, until then, they have some major responsibility to look at themselves in the mirror.
Yeah. Which if they're the type of people that can, not everyone can do it, right? Distractions and avoidance can't look in the mirror at all. But no, I agree with you. I think it's about having compassion rather than adding to the blame and the anger. That's not going to bring any resolution. And it's knowing like they're here for their purpose and their journey as well. And some people aren't ever going to evolve and wake up, right? Some people are just going to continue in that state of lower vibrational energy until they die. And then that's how, you know, the earth will be lifted of that consciousness. But in the meantime, I think like it's our own, personal responsibility for sure to to be able to hold ourselves accountable and look in the mirror. And I agree with you. And I hope that that can happen. I hope that transformation and transcendence can continue to be the spark after the spark, because I do believe that the more we do align and spread the light, for sure it is a attraction, right? Magnetic. Yeah.
Yeah. Correct. Mm. So, yeah. So I think that, you know, maybe it's not their time to transcend. I don't know, like you said, but who knows? I mean,
for some, sure.
Yeah, because you know, well, I don't know, with the president and the provost and all these people. I don't know.
Him probably not. But other students who are young enough and, you know what I mean, and getting the awareness of, do I speak up? Do I, you know what I mean?
That's true.
Yeah.
Now that, yes, that. Yeah. But I mean, in terms of our leadership, quote unquote leadership.
The first one.
You're not leading me to the future. You're leading me to the past. And I'm like, I can't really call you leadership when you're trying to force me backwards. So, you know, there's that narrative, right?
Yeah.
First of all.
Anything so, that separates and divides and takes away rights is not healthy.
That's what your whole tactic is, conquer, separate, conquer, or conquer and divide, or divide and conquer. I mean, that's their whole, they're using old strategies. It's like blatantly clear. It's almost like a joke in a way to me. I'm like, bro, like, you think we can't see what you're doing? Like, it's like blatantly obvious. You're like using old, like old tactics that they use.
Because they have no creative energy. They're cut off from the feminine.
I know. And it's exactly. They're totally cut off from like new strategies, man. It's like, okay, bro, you're doing the same thing that they did when they colonized the United States. This is like, no. It's like, what do you, no. So, you know, maybe some people can't see it, but it's blatantly obvious to me what's happening. And I'm like, okay, this is like an old story. Like, can we get on with a new one? So, you know, but I do believe, because I always hold this spark of hope for everyone. I mean, I had a father who was, let me tell you, I still hold that hope for him, who is probably the scariest man on earth, in my opinion, right? And I believe he holds the potential to rise above. So I believe that these men, and this 50 billion cabinet members this guy has. He has more cabinet members than the president of the United States. I don't know what this guy is doing. He's like afraid. I don't know. Anyway, he's totally trying to dismantle this university. It's pretty disgusting. But I still believe that he has the ability to tap into that. And sometimes people do. I mean, if you see historically, some of these individuals, right, who have had this big, huge awakening, something happened to them. And then all of a sudden they were like, whoa, what am I doing?
Yeah.
And they really flip. You know, I don't know that this can happen to this guy.
Right. Maybe this will be the spark, right? Because it needs to be that power moment of a near-death experience for the ego to completely die. Yeah.
And I think that, you know, with these individuals, to, if they could, or if that did happen, to recognize that they can do good in the world. Now, I don't know that that will happen, but I do know that trying to duplicate what has already happened is really a fear thing. It's just a holding on to old values that are, we've already transcended those. I'm sorry that people are upset. You know, that's why I don't get into the political viewpoint, because people will say, oh, well, you're a liberal, or you're this. I'm not at anything. I'm a realist. And sometimes, well, usually I'm not. I'm an optimist, but I'm a realist too. And the reality is, shit's changed. It ain't going back. So what is that saying? When you spill a cup of water, it's harder to put the water back. What is the saying? It's a parable. It's like, it's harder to
I'm not familiar.
It's easier to fill a cup of water than to put the water back after it's spilled out or something like that. It's something like to that nature of like, once the water's spilled, you can't put it all back in. That's not going to work. Yeah. They're trying to like put the water back in the cup. It's like, bro, sorry. It ain't going back. So I'm not liberal. I'm not conservative. I'm looking at the reality of how humanity is progressing, and we're not going backwards. Like those who are clinging to the past are going to suffer the most, basically, you know? And so that's how I know that they're suffering. And I know that there's fear in them because they're so afraid of letting go so the change can happen. That they're trying to duplicate the past. And it's like, well, yeah, no.
Right. Because, that's all they know. Afraid of the unknown. Moving forward into the uncertainty.
Well, yeah. There's the mother, right? The sacred feminine, the unknown, right. The mystery.
Right. Right.
Go back to your mama.
It's easier to hold on to all the power and the greed than to change and let go and trust in the process.
You need to go back into your mama's stomach and incubate for another 9 months.
Just kidding. Back to the cosmic void womb, right?
So I think that's it. Anyway, I went on a lot, and I'm sorry I did a lot of talking today because I have a lot going on in my brain, and it felt really good to just like articulate it and get it out and just kind of.
Yeah. No, I think it's great to bring the awareness to people for sure and to talk about these things. Because like you said, you've been accepted and you haven't quite started yet. You've been trying to, you know, get familiar and know the program and the people that are there, and all you're seeing is fear and you're not afraid. And like, that's what we need is for people that are not afraid to be like, you know, I'm going to help transcend this narrative because these old structures are not working. And that's what we're here for. Like, that's the divine purpose, you know, in a lot of ways, is to help consciousness evolve and transcend. And in that process is when healing takes place.
Yep. It's so true. It is so true. Yeah. So there's my little rant. I'm going to give this podcast to a couple of the students there and be like, hey, listen to this. You don't have to do anything with it, but I just let them know, you know, because I told them we should do our own podcast. You know, I could go on for days what this guy's doing, but y'all can go look it up yourself. And, you know, hopefully other people, like I said, I don't have enough community on this podcast, even connected to that community. So. I don't think you'll get word of it, but anyway, I'm going to give this podcast to some of the students that, you know, hopefully would like to listen to it. Hopefully they can. I don't know if they will. But yes, not fear and move forward. And that's where I'm headed. So onward and upward, right?
Right.
It's consciousness. So have been looking into this beautiful book called The Gene Keys. Pam, you want to talk about it and like your story, and then maybe you can pull up a key and we can kind of go over it.
Yeah. So obviously like I'm intuitive. I do Oracle readings and stuff like that. This book was in the metaphysical shop that I work at. And I hadn't been in there like a month, and it was just on the bookcase. And so I was strolling around and it just called me. And I had been kind of doing a little bit with DNA. Like I have the Rh negative. So DNA and blood has always kind of come up over the years in my own, you know, remembering and narratives. And so I don't know, I just flipped through it and I was like, yeah, we need this book. This book is calling my name like a deck of tarot cards or something, and I want it. And so I started reading it, and it was really cool because it's a channeled book, right? The guy went into this high vibrational conscious state for about 3 days, 3 nights, he says. And he really gets a lot of downloads and information. And so the Gene Keys is the 64 different DNA strands and how they partner and work together. They're connected with like the body centers, amino acids, codon rings. So just like a lot of really entwined and entangled micro macro, right? We were kind of talking about exploration. And again, it's kind of one of those things where I take what resonates, you know, but so much has been resonating. And the cool thing is you don't have to read it front to back. You can just pick out chapters and sections on that DNA strand. And you can also use that as an oracle just by asking questions and flipping it open. And so I've been doing that. And I mean, it's just been spot on with the situation I'm working through. One of it was about archetypes the chaos the archetypes can bring. Because it talks about the shadow element of the DNA with how we're all programmed. And then there's two stages of the gift frequency. And so you're transcending out of the shadow into the gifts. And so it's a lot. It definitely can be a lot if it's new to you. But it's been really insightful for the different understandings of situations based on how my genetics are kind of programming my experiences for their own transcendence. I think that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
So I've been telling everybody about it in my circle over the past month. And the one thing I love about Natalie and I is we'll find books and we'll share books, or, you know, one of us will buy it if one of us has it, so that we can read it. So Natalie was drawn to this book as well, and she just got her copy. And I had pulled a chapter for her the other night in relation to what we were just talking about, right? This whole structure of this environment you now found yourself in. And we opened it up, and that gene key just spoke exactly to the situation. And so it's like, okay, now you understand, like, this is what your DNA is linking you with to transcend you. So it's so much beyond even how the ego just thinks like shit's happening to me, right? I'm caught up in drama and I'm caught up in chaos. Like, there's more purpose in the alignment. And that's what I love about it, because it really cuts out some of the logical, you know, mindset where you can get too focused on the whys and the hows is life happening. And really just understand it's something bigger of conscious evolution. And so Natalie got the book and she told me she flipped it open and got the pair. So, right, because it's DNA matches. And the same thing happened to me when I first got it. I was starting to read it. I asked a question because I was dealing with a wave, got the chapter like a week later, got the match when I asked the next question. So I'm just loving the mysticism that comes with this book.
And I think it's a tie into the macro micro, which is really, that is the key, right? I like how all these are called the keys. It's like opening doors to the greater mystery, kind of, which is cool, because I think the key, the big key that we're looking for is the key that connects the macro, the micro. And I think between the Keys of Enoch, not the Book of Enoch, the Keys of Enoch, and the Gene Keys. And, you know, there are things that I can say, well, let's just say this. I'll start with this. The Gene Keys and the Keys of Enoch sort of kind of work together to connect the macro, the micro.
Right. Absolutely.
Which is really important. And that's the mystery. That's unlocking the mystery, and the great mystery is unlocking our full potential. Really, honestly, that's what I believe our mystery is, right? That is the Holy Grail. That is what we've been looking for, is to tap it open and break wide open our mystery. Let our mystery unfold. Let our journey unfold the way that it's supposed to. And you know, even in James Hillman, I always bring him up too, because he puts it into like the acorn theory, which is kind of just breaking open, like the potential that is within us mm-hmm. will unfold through the narrative and the journey. Right. And right. as we do that, we can unlock our potential. That's why they're called keys, right? Because right. we're unlocking the potential of the divine gift that we are. So I think with the gene keys, and with the keys of Enoch, I haven't in the gene keys yet. I always find like there are some things where I'm like, well, I don't totally agree with this and that. And that's perfect.
Right.
That is not because nobody holds 100% of the truth for you
right.
or
right.
for the narrative at all. But yeah. at least it is a guiding structure right. to help you move forward into your own path. So if you looked at Richard's and if or Richard Rudd, who wrote the Gene Keys, and if you looked at, and I forget the guy's name who wrote the Keys of Enoch. I need to get better at names. Anyway, he had his same thing was he channeled, right? So all of these people are channeling their own full potential.
Right. But which you and I both do and have.
We do. Exactly.
Books waiting to be written.
I know. We need to write yes. a book, right? And it's a co-book, co-author stuff. That would be great.
Yeah.
But the keys themselves are their own connection to the divine. And they used yeah. other people's stuff to support them through the journey. So
right.
it's not that you have to be like, oh, I'm just going to follow me as my guru. No, he's giving you information to help you open portals to yourself so you right. can find your divine truth, your purpose, the gift that you're here to leave yeah. on this planet. So
can I just say though, really quick for me, the biggest thing with this book,
yeah,
because I knew, right, we're programmed, like that's always that language is just out there. We're conditioned, we're programmed and all this. And knowing like with the DNA, you know, kind of going from this oxygen body to crystalline body, it was all this awareness of changes that were happening on like, you know, molecule levels of consciousness within. And so looking at the each like DNA like piece and seeing the shadow part. So there's a reactive nature or a repressive nature mm-hmm. to every mm-hmm. single programmed. Mm-hmm. So I actually just opened it up to the 26th gene key, which it says sacred tricksters. and the partner is the 45th gene key. So with this, the shadow is pride. And so there's two aspects of pride. The repressive nature is those who are manipulative, and the reactive nature is those who are boastful. And so you're going to be born in with one of those shadow elements into your personality that are mostly dominant throughout your whole life. And so if you can embrace the shadow and work with it and transcend it, then you go into the gift. So the gift on this one is the gift of artfulness. And then the city, which again, you embrace the gift, you embody and live from that gift, you transcend it into the divine gift, which is the city. And so for this one, it's invisibility.
Wow. That's yeah. perfect for the president. He needs to go invisible.
Right.
No, I don't know.
Oh, it says, ironically, such people with no agenda have often left the greatest mark on history of our consciousness okay. because we can't pin them down, because we can't understand them with our minds. We either have to reject them or laugh with them. Laughter is the true legacy of the 26th city. Their laughter peals like an endless string of bells throughout the great cinnabar field of existence, which goes into the chapter, obviously, but just laughter and you're talking about laughing at it and just
because I'm like that's another piece of it, right? Like yeah.
But just having that understanding of okay, my DNA is programmed through a shadow element, which makes total sense, right? And then just and now I can look at it and recognize through which one, like what person, what situation, what part of my life came up where I worked with that, you know, DNA shadow element most strongly and am transcending it, and where I'm at in the gift stages now in a lot of them, or the city gifts. So yeah, it's been really impactful for me personally. And there's a whole website where he does courses around it. So almost like a birth chart, you can figure out which, you know, your holographic profile of your DNA is most active. But I kind of feel like just flipping through, I've gotten a good sense of that, knowing which ones.
Yeah, I kind of like that as well. I kind of like intuitively, I like how he does say that too. Use this however you want. Like I read, he's like, just use this however you want. What feels good for you, you know, that you can use it intuitively. And I like that intuitive method of just opening up and reading. And I do that a lot already. That's kind of been my way of like gaining what the universe has to say to me. I'm like, all right, what do you want to say? And then it's like that book stands out and it's like open up and then boom. And it's always spot on, like 100% spot on. It's never wrong. It's always right. I'm like, wow, cool. Thanks, universe. You know, and then the stream of messages that come with that through other individuals, like the universe talking back through other people. I'm like, wow, that's interesting as well. So there's that string that connects it all. But I do love how he connects this to the I Ching, which is, you know, the Tao, like kind of like the Taoist way of being. And the Tao is the symbol is the yin yang, which to me is very symbolic for where we're headed. And I believe this is what my entire dissertation, I think, is going to be on is the embodiment of a new symbol. Like we need to not glorify a new symbol, but embody something that takes us up closer to nature or to our natural essence. And the reason I like the yin yang as the symbol is because it's balanced. It harmonizes. I shouldn't even say balance, but it harmonizes together the shadow and the light and all of it together, which I think that's why he does a great job of respecting and honoring the mother that we don't see in a lot of individual work. I think the Keys of Enoch, very patriarchal still in a lot of ways, where the mother is not specifically there. So I think that that's what I like about this individual's writing and his channel is that he is saying, hey, I'm embodying the full story and narrative rather than just the one side of the narrative. And that is important, I think, for today, for humanity. We have to embody the full narrative, but he is a student of I Ching. So the I Ching, Qigong, which Qigong is part of what we do and is married to and connected to Kung Fu. And, you know, I just what I say, because Kung Fu is this full sort of spectrum. Like I think that we honoring that particular art and utilizing it in sort of a neo community or kind of incorporating all of that in is really important for kind of where we're headed. But it to me, it's like, whoa, I saw the I Ching. I was like, oh yeah, Kung Fu. There you go. You know, you know, Tai Chi, Pakwa Chong, Shingi, Fashing, all of those things are connected to the Taoist way in Kung Fu. And those are all embodiments of the natural elements around us, like embodying nature itself. And then, you know, they're obviously in Kung Fu, they have the Buddhist way as well. So that's kind of cool. So it's this full kind of comprehensive thing. But when we look at the yin yang is a symbol to incorporate both and instead of this either or narrative.
Yeah.
It's just a beautiful symbol. I mean, the symbol is amazing how they brought it together. And it would be really cool if we can get it into a 5D model as opposed to the kind of 2D or 3D, but to see it as like a 5D kind of morphing.
Oh, that would be really cool.
Yeah, it would be really cool. So, you know,
we'll have to play with that for our next logo.
Yeah, I think it would be cool, right? To just kind of do this 5D narrative.
Yeah.
Our imagery of the yin yang. So, and that's really cool because it's harmonized. It's both the feminine and the masculine, and it's them coming together in this harmony or this cosmic dance, even if you will, which is really cool, right? So I like him. I think he's great. I think the book is great. And thank you for kind of explaining the layout. I think in the future, we're coming up to an hour, so I think we'll go ahead and call it a day. If you haven't got the book or you're interested in the book, it's called The Gene Keys by Richard Rudd. He seems like an amazing guy. I watched his video. I don't get creepy feelings from him.
No, like Ken Wilber, huh?
Yeah, I don't know about Ken Wilber, man. That guy just like, I don't know what it is.
And he how many times I go to order another book, and I'm like, damn it, Ken Wilber, really? Freaking AQOL model. So over
I know. He just totally stole everybody's thing and then just made it, put different names on it. And so for me, I'm like, okay, Ken, come on. Like, where was the imagination? You know, I'm not saying he didn't add anything. Like, he's just totally didn't add any. But nah. I mean, I think that we're not giving credit to the people who, like Claire Graves, who did a lot of research around for spiral dynamics. Like, we can't, you know, use spiral dynamics as one of his models, but he just took a bunch of models and like meshed them all together and then called himself this like great person for doing that. Which is what people do. Don't get me wrong. People do it, like the Gene Keys too.
Yeah. I know that Jenny Wade book with,
The
consciousness. Evolution of Consciousness. Like,
I know,
for sure.
I've not got into that book. I don't know. Maybe it's not ready for me or something. I'm not ready for it. So I need to get into it and start reading it for sure. But yes, that book is available. So Pam, do you have anything else to say before we call it
today? No, it's just really good to be back. Honestly, I've missed our podcast. I've missed our getting together and going live, but I mean, the one thing I love about us is we take the breaks when we need to take the breaks. We slow down as life brings us, you know, these new cycles, these new journeys. So like everything's perfect. There's no need to rush or force anything at all. Like we're just in this beautiful surrender flow. I think more than anything, like Natalie and I are just shifting gears a little bit because like we said, you know, we've been through a lot and narratives have shifted. And when we were teaming up and forming the business, I really had filled her in on twin flames. And it was a huge insight to Natalie, you know, and that was a beautiful part of our journey. And then the Netflix and Amazon kind of documentaries with the crazy cult leaders. And your inner activist was like, we have to defend twin flames in the sense of like this ignorance and this a narrative, right? Again, it just comes down to narrative, false narrative. And within that, I had a little resistance. I was like, all right, let's do it, I guess. Like, And now it's been beautiful. And again, it's shifted because we have both come to this place of unity where we don't need to hold on to those narratives. We had a lot of healing. We've had a lot of letting go. I realized I was wrong. I was definitely wrong about some of the narrative. I had seen somebody in a light that was false, that the role, right? Luckily, the keys of Enoch helped me recognize a true control that was holding on, right? The dark energy. And so I've been able to shift and let go of that narrative. And so that break was beautiful for us because now we can come back and be these two empowered, wonderful women with this divine vision who are motivated and dedicated to their vision and their legacy. And we're going to continue to we're going to tweak our website again. That's going to be different. We're going to get back in there. But we're going to come up with some new things to offer services. And so it's just better than ever, realistically. We're just coming back stronger than ever before. And we're over this masculine toxicity is what it comes down to. And we're not afraid of patriarchal systems. We know the true power and potential of consciousness, healing, and evolutionary stages. And I think that's just our goal. We're not healers. You know, we're not here to heal anybody, but we are here to educate and coach and to, you know, facilitate workshops and events to help other people empower themselves so that they can begin their own healing and their own transformational lifestyle. And so I'm really just grateful for that opportunity, and I'm excited to get going now that you're settled. And yeah, just can't wait to see what happens.
Yep. Yeah. Thanks, Pam, for that. Hi, Light Bright. Aloha. I like your little symbols that you put there. So some mushrooms, huh?
love the mushrooms.
Yeah, there's no excitement up there. Magical mushrooms. So yeah, I think with the narrative, and that's what we're talking about, is that we don't need to cling to old narratives, and we're willing to transform and transcend. Mm-hmm. And absolutely like the idea of, like, you know, you have the keys within yourself, the potential within yourself to heal yourself. Right. And that is what we're here to do, is help you facilitate that. And remember your power, which mm-hmm. I think is absolutely right. You know, I think, you know, there are healers. Don't get me wrong. Like, my sister, call my sister a healer, because she does, she facilitates the healing too. It's not like she's the healer. She is facilitating the healing within through her edibles and all that kind of stuff, you know, her microdosing stuff and all the things she does on her end. So she's more of like the physical body and using plant medicine and all that kind of stuff. Whereas, you know, me, it's the mental part that I really try to support people through that process of remembering who they are. And dry, letting the soul kind of move through. So that piece is true. And so, yeah, we will be changing the narrative of, you know, the twin flame helped us. It helped us to overcome some of the narratives we were holding on to and transcend them. And we've transcended, not that the twin flame scenario isn't a part of it. It's just that we've transcended the narrative to unity consciousness, which is a little bit, it is the embodiment of the full marriage of the sacred feminine and masculine internally, right? To be able to come to fullness within yourself, to marry that within you and come to that wholeness for yourself. And it's a crazy journey. It's a long journey, and everybody has a different journey. So
right. It all begins with your DNA and how it's programmed.
Yep. So there you have it. The Gene Keys. I would say get the book if you're like reading. We are going to be doing some readings on here as well. So our next podcast will probably pull a key and just say, here's the daily key for individuals. So that should be interesting to see who shows up, because I'm like, the people that need that key will hear it. Right.
Right.
So there you have it. Have a great day. We love you. And we will be seeing you soon.
Bye.